More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the life God wants you to have. Are you feeling a little lost or unsure of your next steps? We'll help you get the confidence and clarity you need to discover God's plan. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the life God wants you to have. So, you might find yourself in the situation of not knowing what God wants you to do about something. Well, we're going to tell you. No, we're not going to tell you. That's not our job, right? Yes. But there are
Oracle
ways.
Oracle of Delphi is not in our resume.
Would that it was, but no. But there are principles that we can all use to hear God's voice more clearly, to genuinely know what He is asking us to do. The thing is, God is never silent. He really isn't. He is always leading and guiding us and teaching us. In Scripture, Jesus was called Rabbi. A teacher isn't silent. A teacher teaches.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we struggle to hear Him. Sometimes we struggle to know what He is saying or what His voice, how to hear His voice. But there are principles that we can use that the church gives us to be able to hear God speaking to us more clearly and really knowing with confidence what He's asking us to do next. So let's talk it out today on More to Life. If you are facing a decision that you aren't quite sure what to do about, whether that's a big thing, you know, one of those big life-changing decisions, or just what to do about this relationship thing, right? This parenting question you've got, this marriage disagreement that you're wrestling with, or this desire that you have for something in your life, but you're not sure whether you should pursue it or not.
Maybe you're at a crossroads in life. You are graduating high school or college. You have a child who is graduating high school or college. Somebody you are close to is getting married, and it's shifting your life as well. There are things, there are points in our lives, retirement, other things that make you go, what do I do now? Who am I now? Which direction should I go in?
877-573-7825. Call and tell us, are you facing a decision where you don't know what to do? And you can't quite figure out what God wants you to do. Maybe it's a big decision in front of you. Maybe your career, your marriage, your family, or a relationship, and you keep going back and forth because you're afraid to make the wrong choice. Maybe you've been praying for direction, but the answer just doesn't seem to be coming. Is there something that you feel called to do, but the people closest to you are telling you it's impractical or risky, and their doubts are making you second-guess yourself? Or maybe you've made a choice, and now you're wondering if it was really the right one.
Or perhaps you have somebody in your life who's coming to you and saying, what should I do in this situation? Maybe you just aren't sure, or you got somebody else who isn't. Well, we're going to help you cut through the confusion and discover the life that God actually wants you to have, and help you guide the people in your life who keep coming to you for all the answers. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, St. John Paul asked a huge question. And basically, he said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, Scripture, salvation history, creation itself, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships. Talk about discernment. Geez, that's a huge question to ask, right? But his answer to that question became what people now refer to as the theology of the body. And it has a lot to do with helping us understand how to discern God's will and hear his voice more clearly.
That's absolutely true. You know, one of the things that the theology of the body does is that it reminds us that God created each person with a purpose. We are not random. We are not accidents. Even if you were told you were, you are not. Every one of us was designed to lead a unique and unrepeatable life. One marked by what St. John Paul II called the fullness of self-giving. And that means God hasn't left us without a compass. In fact, he's built one right into us.
That's right. So that compass points to what God wants us to do. And that compass works through what St. Ignatius of Loyola called movements of the spirit, those inner thoughts, feelings, desires, promptings that pull us toward or away from certain choices. But here's what trips people up. And most of us tend to wait for some huge voice from heaven or a burning bush or some unmistakable sign. And when we don't get one, we freeze. We stay stuck.
But the theology of the body actually gives us a way to read those inner movements of the Spirit and know which represent the voice of the Holy Spirit. God designed us to live for meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Those are the three qualities that lead to an abundant life. Leaning into meaningfulness means using your gifts to make a real difference in the lives of those around you. Pursuing intimacy means making choices that lead to stronger, healthier, holier relationships, even if that means setting boundaries. And pursuing virtue means making choices that help us use the things that life throws at us, good and bad, to become more of the whole, healed, and holy people God is calling us to be.
So, the next time you're standing at a crossroads and every decision looks the same or feels confusing, run your options through those three questions. Which choice gives me the greatest chance to use my gifts for the good of others or to benefit this situation? Which one helps me make my relationships stronger? Which choice helps me become even a little bit more of the mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally healthy, holy person God's calling me to be? And the option that scores the highest on all three is the direction that grace is pulling us. When you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, you don't need a burning bush. It's nice when he gives you one, but you don't need it. You just need to use prayer to align the compass that God's placed in your heart with the magnetic north of a grace-filled life. All right, sounds great in theory, but it can still be challenging to actually apply these ideas, so let's talk about it in your life. 877-573-7825. Let us help you use these principles to get some clarity about what God is calling you to in the choices you have to make, the things that you need to do in your life or relationships. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, The Life God Wants You to Have. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring our hearts to you that are torn in so many different directions. We want to do your will, but we often don't know what it is. And we struggle to sort out whether it's your voice or our voice or somebody else's voice. And we don't know how to follow your will, despite our desire to. And we also struggle knowing whether certain desires or longings or movements of the Spirit are from you. So we ask, Lord, for the clarity that we need to hear your voice, and to always lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, to use our gifts to make a positive difference in our circumstances and the lives of those around us, to make choices that lead to stronger, healthier relationships, and to use whatever life throws at us as an opportunity to become healthier, holier people, so that in all things we can know your will by leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
All right, today on More to Life, the show is titled The Life God Wants You to Have. And by the way, that is the title of one of my books that is all about this topic of discernment. And so if you are interested in learning more about this topic, you can check it out, The Life God Wants You to Have, at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But we're taking your questions right now about discernment, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now with Leah, who is listening in Missouri.
Leah, welcome to More to Life on Covenant Catholic Covenant Radio. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for letting me speak on the air. I just had a question about what to do with my family, and I was hoping you guys could help me out a little
bit. Sure. What's up?
So I'm 20 years old, and I just recently got confirmed in the Catholic Church this past Easter with my fiancé.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been no contact with my parents for about a year or so now, and I've been feeling this call to reach back out to them and try to reconcile that, but I'm starting to doubt my decision.
Can you talk about a little bit, what led to that position of no contact in the first place? How did you get there?
Yeah, of course. I moved out of my parents' house when I was 19, and then they weren't very pleased with that, and they also, I think, struggle a lot with some of their own mental things, and I give them grace for that. And so it came a point to where it was very toxic, and it wasn't very helpful when they would try to reach out, and it was weighing on me a lot, you know, in school. And so I just wanted to give us some boundaries and some space, and I slowly but surely would give them a chance. And then I would just, at some point,
So what would you need from them? Okay, what would you need from them to be able to have some degree of healthy interactions with them? And when I say that, let me qualify this, okay? I don't mean that you need to let them back into your life entirely, right? When you're setting good boundaries, what's really a helpful thing to think is, you know, under what circumstances could we have healthy interactions, right? So, for instance, you know, maybe I can count on this person to handle themselves in public, but not in their house. Or maybe I could count on this person to be respectful in text, but not on the phone. Or maybe we can be around each other all the time, as long as I don't talk about X, Y, or Z, and talk about A, B, and C instead. So if you were going to limit the relationship to where you could have a reasonable chance of a healthy interaction, or have certain requirements from them to be able to say, look, in order for me to be around you and know I could be healthy, what would I need to see from you? What kinds of things would you need to ask for?
I guess maybe just, like you said, just maybe limiting it to public spaces, or limiting, like, what we talk about in public, I guess, would be a good start. Because usually, like, I just don't feel comfortable, like, going to their house, and we're actually going to play pickleball here this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that again, but... Yeah, I think that's what I would probably do.
All right, so that's what I want you to really pray about, okay? Right? So it's not a matter of, do I let them back into my life or don't I let them back into my life? It's, how could I let them back into my life in a way that would reasonably guarantee healthy interactions? Not always pleasant interactions, right? Because there's stuff to work out, right? And so sometimes it's going to be a little less enjoyable than others. The question is it safe? Right? Is the degree of tension or frustration that I'm feeling healthy in that it's us working stuff out? Like, we did a show yesterday on conflict. You might want to check this out. Actually, download the podcast from yesterday. But there's a difference between conflict and drama, right? Drama is tension that just tears us apart, that makes me feel like I have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together again after I've had it. Conflict, healthy conflict anyway, is all about moving the stuff around that helps us be closer to each other. It's like, you know, the difference between, say, cleaning up a room You know, let's say you get a spare room in your house, and it's a disaster because you've been storing all kind of stuff in there. You can, you know, going in and cleaning out the room isn't necessarily a whole lot of fun, but it feels good to be able to get it done. But if you're going in to clean out the room and somebody's yelling at you the whole time, that's drama. Right? It's not helping anything. It's not doing it. So how could you set up interactions that might have some conflict, but would be healthy? It would be drama, right? So you want to say to your folks, look, I'm comfortable being in these environments, but not those environments. And some people just aren't safe at all, right? So it's okay to say, look, I would need to know that you were going to counseling regularly, or that you were working a 12-step program, or that you, whatever it was that you needed to see on the other person's part, that they were taking your need to feel safe in their presence seriously. And you can ask for that. And so you give them that door to walk through. Then they can choose whether they want to walk through that door or not. And if they do, then that leads to the possibility of some kind of reconciliation, and it points a way forward. If they choose not to walk through that door, that's not on you, right? Because you're showing them how to have a healthier relationship. It's not your job to tear down the boundaries to make that, to just accommodate everything that they might want. You want to make sure that whatever interactions you have are healthy and holy.
Now, the one more step that you can add to this, Leah, is that if you don't feel safe yet, just throwing out, this is what I would need, you know, we can only see each other in these circumstances, you can try doing it in small bits, you know, just testing the water, just the phone conversation or the text. Or, hey, let's meet for coffee at the diner, because that way you're in public and they may not make a scene, or it might not be as difficult. That's for you to discern. It's sort of the idea of if we go with what Greg's saying with cleaning out the back, you know, the back room, right, that you haven't touched in years. It may be better to say, in the analogy, I'm just going to clean out this one corner, or I'm going to set a timer for 15 minutes and see how much I can clean out without getting overwhelmed. It's the same thing here. You don't have to go in and say, now we're going to fix everything. And you don't even, unless you feel comfortable, have to say, hey, Mom and Dad, these are the ways I'll feel comfortable trying this out again. You might just be able to test it. It's dependent on how you feel safe in terms of what their reactions are going to be.
And the last point on this, okay, Leah, as you're continuing to really reflect and pray about what are those things that you might need, don't feel guilty about setting these boundaries, because the thing here is none of these boundaries are based on how you feel about it, right? These boundaries are based on what's going to allow a healthy interaction. That's working for both your good and theirs, right? Because if you guys get together and it blows up, that's not good for any of you. Right? Or if you get together and they can't handle being in your presence without doing something that's offensive, that's not good for them. Right? So these boundaries are not set based on, well, I'm mad at my mom and dad, so I don't want to see them anymore. It's, I want to see them, but I want to make sure that whatever interactions we have are healthy and productive and lead to something. And that's good for you, that's good for them, that's good for the relationship, and that passes the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test that we're talking about. So keep reflecting on that. For more guidance on that topic, you might want to check out the book, The Life God Wants You to Have. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. If you want more personalized guidance, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for that as well. But I think that these principles will get you started. Don't hesitate to call us back, though. We'd love to hear how it's going and help coach you through along the way. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled The Life God Wants You to Have, as we talk about how to hear God's voice more clearly, how to discern His will, and really know what He's asking you to do in those big decisions, those little decisions, whether it has to do with a big life thing, or just how to guide your choices in a particular relationship. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She's going to be doing a webinar today at noon titled Not Me First, But Me Too, How to Honor Your Needs Without Guilt, which is really all about discerning how we can get our needs met in ways that also allow us to be generous to others. She's going to be talking about that when we come back after the break. Stick around.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Renero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chan, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthemaybeonefilm.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled The Life God Wants You to Have, as we talk about discernment and how to know what God's asking us to do. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our faith-based program in performance excellence. Today she's offering a webinar at noon titled Not Me First, But Me Too, which is really all about discerning how we can get our needs met while still being generous to others. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about this whole idea of, you know, sometimes we kind of feel like we're getting lost in the middle of all the stuff we've got to do and the people we have to attend to. You're going to be talking about, you know, how to find ourselves again in that webinar you're doing at noon today, but give us a little taste of some of the things you'll be sharing with people.
Yeah, well, it's really easy in the midst of our everyday life to get lost in the chaos or caught up on autopilot and start to feel like we're losing ourselves. And when we feel this way, we tend to believe that we have to have some major life overhaul to find ourselves again. But what I share with my clients is that you didn't lose yourself. You got buried. And there's actually a really important difference. Because the theology of the body tells us that who you are, your deepest identity, isn't something that you build. It's something that you were given. You were designed with specific desires, specific gifts, strengths, needs, a specific way of seeing the world. And all of that's still there. It didn't leave. It just got covered up by the weight of everything you're carrying for everyone else. So if you're in that place right now, try practicing what I call a recognition moment. Pause wherever you are and ask yourself three questions. One, what did I used to love that I've stopped making room for? Not what should you love, not what's productive, but what actually lit you up or fueled you. Two, when was the last time I felt like me? Not me as a mom or me as a leader, just me. What was I doing? Who was I with? What environment was I in that I felt most grounded in? And three, what's one thing that my body has been asking for that I keep ignoring? Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's movement. Maybe it's connection. Your body is a gift that communicates. It has a language, and most of us have just stopped listening to it. Reconnecting with who God made you to be isn't selfish. It's actually essential to the gift you're trying to give to everybody else, because you can't effectively use the gifts and strengths that you don't even acknowledge that you have. A gift has to be possessed before it can be given. And if you've lost touch with yourself, you're not giving from fullness. You're just running on fumes and calling it generosity. When you take that time to pause and ask yourself those three questions, you're taking the time to tune back into who God created you to be and how God is speaking to you through your design.
I love the fact that as you're talking about who we're created to be by God, you're saying connecting with this isn't selfish. But what I'm hearing from you and the questions you're asking, and that you'll be unpacking more on your webinar at noon today, that people can still sign up for. And even if they're busy at noon, you'll send them the recording so they can still go and sign up for it today. But for most of us, when we hear we need to do more for ourselves so that we have more to give, it just becomes another darn thing on the to-do list. Oh, now I have to exercise so I have more energy. Oh, now I have to fit in, you know, this kind of prayer form so that, and it becomes a thing to do. And what you're saying is no, connecting with those things that light you up, that give you that spark again that you've lost sight of, or discovering those things if you've never even had a chance in your life to connect with them before, is very different than adding another thing onto your to-do list, right?
You're spot on with that, and that's actually exactly what I'll be talking about in my webinar today. It's not about adding more to your list, because we have enough on our plate already. It's essentially sort of optimizing what we're doing to include ourselves in it, rather than ignoring ourselves and operating on that autopilot and just putting everyone else first and absolutely never even thinking about ourselves. So it's not adding more to your to-do list. It's not trying to burn you out. It's just learning how to tune into yourself and build that intentionality back into your day, into your life, so that you can start including yourself rather than ignoring yourself.
It occurs to me that if God made you to be a hammer, you're going to be a terrible saw. But if you take some time to figure out the tool that he made you to be, you could actually be great at that. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so the webinar, again, is titled Not Me First, But Me Too, which is really all about discovering how we can discover who we are and how to meet our needs in ways that still allow us to be generous to others. Folks can learn more about that by visiting CatholicCounselors.com, going to the shop. And again, the title of the webinar today at noon is Not Me First, But Me Too. And even if you can't make it live, you'll get the recording sent to you. So check it out.
As long as you go and sign up for it today. And I think it's on the second page of the shop, but as long as you go to CatholicCounselors.com/shop and look for this webinar, you can sign up now and attend live at noon or get yourself on that list to receive it.
Not Me First, But Me Too. See you there. All right, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled The Life God Wants You to Have. As we talk about discernment and big things and little things, how do we know what God's asking us to do? How can we get it right? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the life God wants you to have. We're talking about discernment, and the principles we're unpacking today can also be found in my book of the same name, The Life God Wants You to Have, which you can pick up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But you could just call us right now at 877-573-7825. Let us help you discern how to use those principles that help you get clarity about what God's calling you to in those big decisions and the little ones too. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to let you know that one of our great EWTN radio affiliates needs to hear from you next week. Real Presence Radio, with 27 stations serving Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Wyoming, and a large area, is kicking off their spring live drive next Tuesday, May 5th. Through Thursday, May 7th.
So no matter where you are, please support your local EWTN Catholic radio station. And we thank all of you who make Catholic radio possible, particularly you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rose, who's listening to EWTN radio in Ohio.
Hey, Rose, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Good morning, Dr. Greg, Lisa. Well, listen, I'm going to be almost 84, and I lost my only daughter Holy Saturday last year from ALS.
My daughter-in-law
in September, and they were all both in their 60s. So I've been kind of tied up with my daughter during the winter months and everything. No excuse here. My problem is she was my durable power of attorney, everything pertaining to if and when I die, not if, when I die. And she was okay with all that. But so I have her first with the lawyer. In the papers have my younger son as second choice if she passes away. And my third choice was my oldest son. If both pass away, the problem is that the reason why I put my eldest son last is because he's not good with money. Good with money, and now at that time when I had these papers drawn up a long time ago, I knew that and I still know it. But in my heart of hearts, I don't want the two sons with any animosity towards each other. I don't want to hurt my oldest son.
This is specifically about your decision about who's going to serve as durable power of attorney, or is this also about dividing up your assets?
It's all of it, yeah. Dividing up and durable power of attorney, all of it. My daughter was...
Now, with your... So you have the two remaining sons, correct?
Yes.
Are you planning on dividing up your assets in an unequal way? Are you saying because you're
equal? Everything would have been equal.
Okay, but the question specifically then is about, you know, you don't want to hurt the oldest son's feelings for making the other son the durable power of attorney is what you're saying, right?
I can almost promise you that you won't be. As long as everything's divided, because I know this from our own experience, from experience of friends. When somebody doesn't have a real gift in an area, like managing money, when you suddenly say, okay, now you handle the whole estate, or you do the durable power of attorney, they don't feel equal to the task.
Does he know he's not good at handling money, Rose?
I don't know what he knows about anything. He doesn't really share a whole lot, but I know what I see, and I know what's happened. His choices are not too good. He lives in a trailer park, and what he lives in is pretty broken down, and I don't see any reason for such a thing, but that's what it is. But on top of this, the youngest son, he's the one that just lost his wife, and he's going through turmoil right now, taking care of her death and all the things.
Sure.
So it's like really, I just feel like I'm almost tongue-tied and heart-tied and everything else.
Sure.
No, I understand. But I think that your best approach forward here is to really, I would be honest with your kids even now, right? And then just be and talk to your oldest son and say, look, I don't want to put you in the position of having to manage more than you already are, right? And so I don't want to give you this not responsibility. I don't want to give you this weight of having to, of having to manage all this. So I would like to ask your brother to handle this instead, because I just don't want to have to give you more to do. But I wanted you to understand where I was coming from in this, so that you didn't feel like it was a favoritism thing. But I just felt like this was giving you too much to have to handle.
Now, if you're afraid that that's going to blow up a little bit, I would simply have a note. You could write a note about exactly why you've chosen the younger son in your file with your attorney, so it's there when you pass. So your son doesn't have to wonder if you didn't think enough of him or why mom made this choice. You just write a lovely note and say, you know, this is why I made this choice. I didn't want to burden you with everything, and your brother has experience in this. But as you can see, my assets are divided equally. I love you both so much. And, you know, I'll be praying for you for the rest of eternity until we meet again. And just leave that lovely note so your lawyer has something to work from, and I wouldn't really worry about it.
Yeah, so those are two ways to really manage it, and I think that's important to be able to know, as you're saying, Lisa, that you know you can pass on letters as well as your will.
Yes.
that provide a little bit more guidance and instruction than would necessarily be included in a legal document. So those are two ways that you can address it. So really pray about which one you think will play out better.
But, you know, you were saying you're kind of dragging your feet going to your lawyer. I would really encourage you to not do that, because your lawyer will have advice on this. Your lawyer, you will want to let your lawyer know that you want to leave a note. You may even be able to dictate it while you're there. But just have the conversation, because the lawyer is the one who's going to be talking to your sons when that time happens. So don't drag your feet on that. It's not a scary meeting to have. It's an important meeting to have.
Rose, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again. And just to show our math here again, because we don't want to tell anybody what to do. We're just applying these principles. But
right.
You know, so in this instance here, what's the choice that leads to the most meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue? Well, meaningfulness means using my gifts to make a positive difference in a situation. If you give somebody who doesn't have certain gifts the responsibility of managing a situation, that's not a meaningful choice,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. In fact, you will be burdening them in many ways.
You know, intimacy refers to making my relationship stronger. Now, we're talking about even what would happen after you passed, you know, but we're looking at how can we help you manage any fallout from that so that they could have a healthy relationship. So you manage that by pursuing the intimate choice that would allow you to clarify your intentions, either by talking with both of them now or by leaving a note that explains why you've made the decisions that you've made. And virtue, you know, it goes really to the whole question of, you know, instead of dragging your feet, I need to move forward, because virtue is really all about handling the stuff that life throws at us, not avoiding it. And so the suggestion that we've made here and the options that we presented are really rooted in that math, if you will, of what appears to be the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous way forward.
And I will say that because your younger son is dealing with all of the legal ramifications of his wife's passing, you going to talk to your lawyer and handling this now, so everything is neat and clean and done, will prevent him from having to go through this again. So he will just have to exercise whatever you have left behind in your will, and it's done.
Rose, thank you again for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. Listeners, we are talking with you today about discernment on our show titled The Life God Wants You to Have. Are you feeling a little lost, not quite sure of your next steps, either in a big decision or, you know, smaller decisions about how to handle this parenting issue or this marriage situation, this conversation you need to have with somebody, or a big life choice? Whatever it is, these principles work, and we want to help you learn how to use them so that you can hear God's voice more clearly and really get a good sense of what he's asking you to do. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, coming to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
And this goes back to the reflection that we had at the beginning of the program, where we were talking about needing to make sure the inner compass that God has given us to discern what he wants for us is pointing toward that magnetic north of grace, and we align that compass to grace through prayer. Right? And so everything that you do, every decision we make has to be rooted in that call. Lord, teach me what to do. How can I respond to this situation in a way that would lead to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue? How can I respond? And not just how can I respond to this situation in general, but how can I respond to all the little decisions that are part of that big choice too, so that I can keep making sure that I'm not just doing what God wants me to do, but I'm doing it the way he wants me to do it, right? And so discernment isn't just about that question of which direction do I go. It's about how I conduct myself and the choices I make on the journey while I'm going down that road too. So remember that. You know, always bring those choices back to God in prayer and ask him, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that leads to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue so that I'm doing your will in all things and leading the abundant life that you're calling to me to through all things. Well, we are continuing to take your calls here on More to Life. The show is titled The Life God Wants You to Have, as we talk about discernment and how to know God's will in the big and little things. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Our 20th anniversary Danube River cruise was spectacular. Due to popular demand, we have again chartered our own exclusive and brand new ship for a Rhine River cruise to four European countries of the most beautiful churches in Catholic history in Europe. The trip is already half sold out. Join us in June 2027. Immerse yourself in the rich Catholic heritage of Europe.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to avemariaradio.net and find the Travel Link.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled The Life God Wants You to Have. It's the same title as my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discernment, and that's what we're talking about today on the show. If you've got questions about how do you know what God's asking you to do in those big things or small things, let's talk it out together and show you how to apply those principles that give you the clarity and confidence you need moving forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Moses, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Canada.
Moses, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much, Greg and Lisa. I listen to your program not like every morning on my way to work. So I just
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I just say, look, I should call in because what the topic you're discussing today is something that it really radiates with me.
Mm-hmm. So, and what are you trying to discern, Moses?
So I'm calling actually to you guys to like point me in the right direction. So currently I'm kind of like discerning what to actually do with my career. There's this organization that I've been wanting to join, and I got to it. I'm actually working with them full time now, and there's this other organization that I really want to get into. I got an interview with them, and then what happened was that I actually applied for a lesser role, and just recently I just got the usual note that I got declined. It was given to other candidates. So my question now is this like God telling me, stay put where you are?
Okay. So let me, I'm not going to speak for God, but let me give you some things to pray about, all right, that will help you kind of clarify your decision. And you might, I'm going to ask you the question, but I don't want you to feel pressured to answer it now. If you say, well, you know what, I need to really sit on that's a perfectly fine answer. Right? I don't want you to feel pressured, but just curious, if you did a gut check right now, and you asked yourself, of the options I have available to me, which of these options do I feel, you know, having been praying about it, would lead to a greater experience of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Again, defined by meaningfulness is that would allow me to use the gifts and talents that I have in a way that would make a positive difference in my life or the lives of others, that would help me have healthier and more satisfying relationships with the people who are closest to me, and that would let me kind of take whatever life challenges are that are throwing, you know, whatever life throws at me, and use those to grow and become a healthier, holier, stronger person. Do you have a sense, just based on the facts that you have right now in front of you, which of those options would lead to the greatest degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue?
Be what I am currently doing.
Okay. Then I think that's what you probably want to keep looking at. Now, again, I want you to keep praying about it. Don't just stick with it because you feel like you said it to me on the air, right? But if that's how you kind of test it, you know, and you can even look down the road. You could say, you know, well, all right, like right now it would be this, but maybe in the future it would be that. But I think it's best to really look at not so much what I hope will happen down the road, but what do I think is really leading me right now, based on the information I have available to me, to the option that leads to the greatest degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Because those are the three qualities that an abundant life rests on. If you look in the theology of the body, it really clarifies what God is calling us to, right? Theology of the body is all about mutual self-giving, the idea that we were created to give ourselves to others, to work for the good of others, that everything has been given to us, including our bodies, to work for our good and for the others' good. And so meaningfulness, a meaningful life, is a life that's reflective of that. Even, you know, that's not just a theological point. Good psychology points that out. In fact, all the research on what's called authentic happiness, Martin Seligman has done a lot of work on this, talks about how we find authentic happiness by being a blessing to others. And in fact, there's a lot of Daniel Siegel, who's a secular psychiatrist, does a lot of work in what's called interpersonal neurobiology, where he talks about how the body was made to thrive when we feel like we're making a difference in the lives of others. So meaningfulness is an important part of that. Intimacy, theology of the body reminds us we were created for connection, for relationship with other people. And so when we make choices that make our relationships healthier and stronger, we're doing God's will. Again, psychology backs that up. We find that people who have the most satisfying and even physically healthy lives have strong, healthy relationships. And that, you know, that healthy relationships actually contribute to long-term physical health and longevity even more than, like, exercise does. It's crazy. But, yeah. But again, meaningfulness, intimacy, and then virtue, that last quality. You know, we were created. Virtue isn't just about being good. It's about being strong. It's about being integrated. It's about bringing all the different parts of ourselves together and using whatever life throws at us as an opportunity to become a stronger, healthier, holier person. So when we take those three qualities, which the theology of the body really reminds us are really the whole point of living and the path to an abundant life, and we apply those decisions in front of us, we see what the next step in the pathway to that abundant life ultimately is.
And this is really, you know, Greg, as you're discussing this with Moses, but so many people are sort of hanging on what you're saying here. So often we will see in real life, but also played out in, you know, movies, TV shows, people who have gone for the financially excellent, you know, high-level life, or the, you know, I saw an interview with someone who had won a gold medal in the Olympics, and right after he won the gold medal, he was like, wait a minute, is this all there is? And he went through a real crisis. And we see people who reach for that thinking, that's the ultimate. That's going to be what makes me feel wonderful. And then they realize they don't. They feel hollow or they feel lost because they haven't been pursuing these three things. But when we do, when we look at these three things and take it one step at a time, that's what allows us to have that deep sense of connection with God, connection with others, knowing ourselves, knowing that we've made a difference in someone's life or many people's lives. And it keeps us on the path where no matter what's going on, we can say, oh, wait a minute, I've done well. We can almost say to ourselves for a moment as we pray that God says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. We've made these decisions along the way.
Now, Moses, I'm kind of praying through this as I'm talking. And you know, you said that you really want to be part of this organization. As I'm praying through it, I'd like you to take this to prayer, too. It may be, because we have to listen to those desires on our hearts, too, because God put them there. So it might be that this is not the right time for you to take that to work for that organization. But it would be an appropriate thing for you to say, hey, look, I would like to work for you. This is what it would take for me to be willing or able to come over. And you propose something that would be reflective of that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Right. And so that's how we have the courage to kind of take those risks. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I have to go over here and settle. It's I feel this longing to be part of this organization, but I want to make sure that it's the right fit. So I go to them and I say, hey, look, I would love to be part of you. In order to do that, this is what I would need, meaningfulness, intimacy, virtue. And then they either say, well, yeah, we can't do that now, but we could do that down the road. And that gives you something to look toward or walk toward, right? Or they say, no, that's never going to happen. And now you know the door's closed. But you've explored those options, again, through that same lens. So, again, just putting that out there for your consideration. Continue praying about it, please. Don't just do it because we said. But this idea of how do I exercise this sort of threefold test of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue really does help snap things into focus. So thank you for the call, Moses. I'm grateful that you gave us the opportunity to walk through this with you. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And again, we talk about all this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, where we give lots and lots of examples of people using this meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test. One last thing I do want to lead you with, though, okay? Don't just discern what God wants you to do. Keep discerning how he wants you to do it. I had a conversation with somebody the other day who said, you know, I know that God asked me to do X 10 years ago, but it's become a disaster. And I said, well, tell me more about that, right? It's like, well, and they told me all about, you know, how they discerned to do the thing, and it seemed really clear. And then I said, well, but as you continue to do that thing, how have you asked for God's guidance in how to do it? And they kind of looked at me blankly and said, well, I kind of forgot to do that, you know. And I said, well, you know, look, that's not a judgment, but it's something to consider. It's not, you know, God's fault that he asked you to do this thing that didn't turn out well. It's he asked you to do this thing, but then he wanted you to keep asking him how to do it. And we all forget to do that. We think that because God said go do this, now it's my job to go make it work. And that's not what God wants.
Without holding his hand, without asking for his guidance every single step of the way, we just run into the field and say, I'll do it.
Yeah, and then we get run over. You know, so if God wants you to do something, he also has a plan for how to do it. So keep checking in with him and making sure that you're not just doing the things that would lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, but you're doing them in ways that continue to lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue along the path. Because that's how we develop both that abundant life that we're called to, and even more importantly, that close, intimate relationship that God wants with each of us. All right, that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to learn more, check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. And you can also learn more about the Catholic Counselor's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice by visiting us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.